I find that God is so interesting. Last week, with the Lord's Supper coming, I just asked the Lord, what direction should there be in the message? And it just came, give your last message. My next thing that came was the verse that I have here in the bulletin, 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Which I want to say some things about that not only John is saying how to be ready at any moment for the Lord's return, but also how to live in a continuous way that you're living right. So I put in there my last message with a question mark. And the more I thought about it, I've changed it. about abiding, the blessings of abiding in Christ, which is true. And then my kids come, they say, I thought you were going to do your last message. Well, I'm not even sure what that meant. If I had to give a last message, I'd want to give it on being ready to meet the Lord at any moment. None of us know. I didn't even know if we'd have today. We don't know, and we need to be living in such a way, and we don't know when the Lord will return, but we need to be ready. And I just so appreciate John's message on that. And the reason I say God's so interesting is I decided, I don't know if I can do that, to put that in the bulletin. Because I don't know. I thought maybe he's talking about referring to last week's message, or the last message, or the message that I would want to be the last message. So I don't know. But anyway, I did feel that with the kids showing up, I had to say something. I want to refer us, first of all, just to John 14 for a moment, where you know that Jesus is getting his own followers ready for his leaving. He's not going to be here with them, but as we talked last week, very interesting, in verse 12 of John 14, he says, the works that I do, ye shall do also, if you believe in me. And I talked a little bit about how that God will work through weak instrumentalities to do his will. I referred to Gideon, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him for that particular battle. And one had put it that he became a suit of working clothes that the Spirit wore that day. Or in John 15, in abiding, we're just a branch. And if you go over to the passage in 2 Corinthians 4, we're just an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And so it's very important, I think, to think about that. The other one is in Matthew 11, to yoke up with him. We're just yoked up with him. And you know that if you're yoked up with the living Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to do the work. We're there. We get to be part of it. But as in John 15, the fruit is his and it comes forth from him. So in John 14, he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. He said, I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you. And I'll prepare that place and I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you'll be also. And the thing I want us to think about in abiding in an overall way, I want to look at some of the blessings of abiding, but he is making a place for us. And then in John 14, he says, I'm going away, but I'm going to ask the Father, he's going to send the Holy Spirit. Then he further says, I'm going to come to you. And then the verse, I think it's 23, that I just want to read. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So he's saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that you can be where I am and with me throughout the eternities. And what that'll be like. I know that in the beginning, Jesus spoke the word into the world. So in preparing a place, it'll be something else, no doubt. My thought is then, in abiding in him, if he's come to live in us, what's it like to be in me? What's it like to live in me? And I want us to think about that, because if, as John said, if you abide in me, or my little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you can have confidence and not be ashamed before him in his coming. That verse came home to me, and I didn't know if I'd share that either, but early on when I came to Central Christian, the administrator, and I don't know why he really did this, but he said, I want you to go with me, and we're going to go overnight, and we're going to pray together about a student handbook, things that we want done in the lives of students. And I remember we we knelt by a bed there in that motel, and what came home to me that night, just specially, was this verse. And I just had to think, what an amazing exhortation. If I'm abiding in him, if I'm walking right, if I'm in fellowship with him, and things are right between him and I, one moment I'm here by faith, the next moment I'm in his presence by sight. And John says, if you're abiding in him rightly, you can do it with confidence. Or if you're not, it'd be sad to go into his presence ashamed. Lord, I'm sorry. Whatever you were doing, whatever you were thinking, whatever you were involved in, and whatever your life was like as a Christian. And so I just want to stress that verse today, and that we would be the kind of vessel that he is abiding in. He's living in us and living through us. And I had to think about Robert Munger's little book. I don't have it with me, but My Heart, Christ's Home. And that's kind of what he was thinking about and talking about, that I've invited Jesus Christ to come and live in my life. And what is it like to live in me? Now, we abide in him and he abides in us. What's it like for him to abide in me? In our thinking, in our activities, in all that we do. And just a couple of things from that. Remember, he had, I don't know if it was a living room or something, where they agreed, Lord Jesus, I'll meet with you every morning here so we can pray together and I can have devotions in your presence. And he says, I was rushing off to college and out the door, and I looked in and I saw Jesus sitting in there. So I halted and I went in and said, are you here every morning? He says, well, you remember we agreed we would meet here? And then he has the Lord Jesus speaking to him and says, you know the problem is, Robert, you think this devotional time is important for you, but you don't know it's important for me. And one of the amazing things about our Savior is he wants to meet with us. He not only wants to meet with us, live with us, fellowship with us, but one day bringing us home to be with him as God's children. You know, in Romans 8, it says that he is a firstborn of many brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ to be like him. And so it's important to him. The other thing that I think always stands out in Munger's little piece is the hall closet. He said one day the Lord Jesus said, there's something that smells bad in here. Living here is, I'm not comfortable with it. And Robert Munger said, I know, it's in that hall closet. But he said, I'm not strong enough to get rid of it, but I'll give you the keys. Talked about the Lord Jesus taking that thing out of his life that was not pleasing to him. And so I think about this matter of abiding in him and him abiding in us, that we would be living in such a way that at any moment if the Lord returns, we're ready. And that's what I thought about that time when that verse came to me back there as we were on our knees, that one moment walking with the Lord here by faith, we don't see him. You know, he's present in our service this morning. We've met in his name, and he said he would be with us. And there's more than two or three here. He not only lives in our life, but he comes and dwells with us as we meet in his name. But that the next moment, our eyes are open in his sight and in his presence. That's how we want to live. And so that's what John was sharing in that verse about being sure that we abide in him and know what that means, and we live in such a way that we're always happy to go into his presence. So I just want to share just some of the things that I think are so important in this matter of abiding. And the first is the impact of fruit. In John 15 I've already given that. That he has come to live in us. Let me give you John 15:5 again. I am the true vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Talked a little bit about that last week, that it's him working through us, whether it is to bring comfort, whether it's to give the gospel to somebody. The very first part of in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to share the gospel, to declare the gospel, to help open the blind eyes, to bring healing to hearts that need to be healed, whether it's to encourage, strengthen, whatever. And that's his fruit, and he gets a credit for it. If it's his doing, he gets a credit. And that's how Jesus said, my life just comes through the branch, and the fruit, the Father seeks fruit. In fact, he said it's so important to the Father that he sometimes prunes. And I like to say, if you get too branchy and you're getting too much attention to yourself, you know, prune you. He wants the fruit, and Jesus gets the credit for the fruit. And so it's God's work accomplished in us. Second thing I would say about the matter of abiding and the importance of it and the blessings of it is the impact on prayer. And I would just share verse 7 of 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And it only makes sense. If you're abiding in the Lord and you're in fellowship with him and you're open to the Spirit of God prompting you and teaching you, as he says he will there in 14:26, that he will remind you, he will teach you, that you're going to know better how to pray. And from the Word and from the promptings of the Holy Spirit, its impact on prayer says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you, because you're going to be asking rightly and you're going to be asking in response to the promptings of the Lord. I think also about the impact on our behavior. John wrote this also in 1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in me, him ought also himself also to walk even as he walked. If we're abiding in him, we need to walk like he walked. He says it only makes sense that we would do that. In Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so there in our fellowship and our ongoing walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, we know better what to pray. We need to pray within the will of God and what God is trying to do, that we would scripturally pray. And then I think about this matter of fellowship. And I think Mr. Munger, he really hit that in my heart, Christ's home. But it's obvious as you look at the word that the Lord Jesus not only came because he's loved of the Father, and the Father loves us to rescue us, to redeem us, to bring us back into the family if we will choose him and choose what he does for us, but he wants to be with him. John 17, he prays that they would be with me, Father, to behold my glory. It's on his heart. Hard for us to understand that the living God, incarnate Jesus Christ, wants to be with us. But that is the truth. And in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so it's not only fellowship, but cleansing in him. And I want to say fifthly, protection. It's interesting to me that in John 14:23, he said that my Father will love him, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So you think you have the Trinity in you as well. The Father's going to come. And I really appreciate Psalm 91, because it talks about abiding in God, under his shadow, under his protection, and all the wonderful things that God has shared with us in Psalm 91. A wonderful thing to daily claim that we choose to abide in you, Heavenly Father, under your shadow, under your protective wings. I've had a call the other day, somebody's having nightmares. He will keep you from terror by night. Get under his shadow, abide in him. And he gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. Bear us up in our hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. You know, Satan used that against Jesus. The word says that he will give his angels and he will keep you. Well, Satan left out the part, keep you in all your ways. And so he uses scripture. Satan does, but it's to keep you in all your ways and bury you up in his hands, and also that you can tread on the enemy. So one of the things about abiding in the Lord and abiding under his presence is protection. But then I want to come just to this whole matter of being prepared for his return. In thinking about this, I had to think back as a young person. Once in a while, we had some relatives that went to a country church, Oakdale Evangelical Free Church in Northwest Iowa there. And on the front of the church, they had clouds. Somebody had painted clouds, and I don't remember how they represented the Lord coming back. But somehow it said, "Behold, I come quickly," in almost every translation, "I come soon." And I just had to think, you know, I think they tore that old church down, and I don't know what they've done in their new church. But I just had to think, coming in there, there was a reminder to people every time they came in, or Jesus is coming again. And I just know that we can get so busy, we can get wrapped up in whatever God is having us do, and we need to stop and realize that any moment we may meet the Lord. Not only he might take us out of here, but he'll just come and take us home. First of all, Matthew 24:42, he says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." I want to just, for our sake, before the Lord's Supper here, remind us of God's plan from 1 Thessalonians. Get it here just a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, of what is coming for us that are still alive and remain. And we don't know when that's going to be. Paul wrote it, when we who are alive and remain, and he's home a long time ago, but it's still good for us. "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." I've had some people having a trouble that we, when we die, we're home with the Lord. He's going to bring them back to get their new body. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, right now that's us here, shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he says, and he's talking about those that have lost loved ones. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. With that, I just want to share a familiar passage, but it's in 1 Corinthians 15, where he's talking about the resurrection. But if he should come today, if he should come at whatever time. Now this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You know, if we get out of the atmosphere in this body, we're in trouble. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. And then he goes on to say, we need to put on incorruption and join them in the air. And so my thought and my purpose today is, are we always ready? There's two things, and I mentioned it earlier, where John says, and now little children, abide in him. You'll be ready. You don't have to be ashamed. At that moment, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and there's not going to be time to get it right, and I wish I wouldn't have been doing this, or where I am, or whatever. We need to be where we need to be and where God wants us to be. But then also, if we're ready for that moment, then as we live, we'll be living in the right way. In fellowship with the Lord, having him abide in us, not uncomfortable because of our lives and what it's like and what we're not doing and what we should be doing. And so I put that verse before us this morning. Abide in him. You'll be ready for his calling you home. You'll be living as you ought. You'll be sensitive to that didn't please the Lord, and so I confess that is sin. I want to stay in fellowship with you, Lord, that we are consistently asking his direction, bringing him into every area of our life. So my question to myself, to you, how pleased is our Lord Jesus to abide in me, to live in me? I have no doubt what he's prepared for us is going to be wonderful. May we prepare ourselves for him to be pleased to abide in us. And then, at that moment, if we're alive when that last trump, we can go home with confidence. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the truth and the reminder that John brought just to always be abiding in you. What a privilege. What an honor. What a responsibility. And my prayer for my brothers and sisters, my own family, my own life, is that in this matter of abiding in you, we'll be walking as we should, that you're pleased to dwell. Even though we have our faults and we're made lower than the angels, but that we're right with you, Lord Jesus. So as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, Lord, if there's something in that area of our lives that needs to be confessed, I pray we do that, and that we could, with open hearts, just remember what you came and did for us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free.
Again this morning, Father, I just want to thank you that when that old wicked one beguiled our parents to live for him, that you had a plan and you sent your own son to rescue us, to bring us into your family. And we're so grateful for you, Lord Jesus, for giving your life for us. We bless you and thank you and know we will praise you throughout the eternities. But we do this morning as well. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.